This morning, as we gather for the Father's Day message, I would let you know that I'm going to do things a little different today than I normally do. I like to do things different now and then, and I think on Father's Day, it's a good time to do things different. You know, we're in a celebration time today, and we need to be celebrating because God has blessed us in an incredible way by putting us together as family, and not only as family living in households together, but as His family, the church, right here in the community. And He has work for us to do and things for us to pay attention to and to take care of. And He tells us what they are, and then He blesses us in being able to do them. Now, as I'm remembering Father's Day, I remember that one of the things that my dad used to love to do when I was growing up was he subscribed to the newspaper, and he told me one time that he subscribed to the Sunday paper, especially because there was a comic strip in there that he liked, Dennis the Menace. And so he got the Sunday paper, of course, he looked through all the other stuff, but I would eventually get the comics, and Dennis the Menace was one of his favorites, one he read first. And I remember one particular one. Now, I don't know that this was on Father's Day or even on a Sunday, but I remember a Dennis the Menace comic strip that was there. And you know Dennis, he was being Dennis, and he went over to the Wilsons to have cookies and milk one day. And he was sitting there enjoying the cookies and milk, and he was sitting across the table from Mr. Wilson. And he asked Mr. Wilson, why don't you go to work at all? And Mr. Wilson explained to him that he was retired. And Dennis the Menace said, oh, is that why you just loaf around all the time and don't seem to get anything done? And then Mr. Wilson explained to him that he worked hard for a lot of years, and so he gets to enjoy this time of retirement. Well, Dennis then said, well, what about Mrs. Wilson? Why hasn't she retired? Mr. Wilson responded, she can't retire because she never worked. But Dennis said, wait a minute, I see Mrs. Wilson cooking and washing and cleaning all the time. Doesn't that count? That's different, Mr. Wilson said. She's a housewife. If she retired, who'd be the housewife? Dennis said, couldn't you help Mr. Wilson? Mr. Wilson said, Dennis, are you trying to cause problems here? Mrs. Wilson piped up and said, stop yelling at Dennis. He's right and you know it. In the next frame, Dennis is joining his mother in their garden. His mother asked, what are the Wilsons arguing about? Dennis answered, I don't know. I came home because I didn't want to get involved. That's just like Dennis. Oh, man. Well, we have a Dennis in our house. I'm just saying. The scripture for this morning is from Matthew's gospel. And we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 10, verses 11 through 16 for the base of my comments this morning. And God's word says, whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town. Shake the dust off your feet. Truly, I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. This is the word of God, the gospel of our Lord and Savior. Thanks be to God. You know, this may be a difficult passage or an odd passage for us to think of a Father's Day message. It is the lectionary passage of the week, and oftentimes on these special event days, I don't follow the lectionary. But as I read this scripture in Matthew, I saw the framework of a Father's Day message. You know, Jesus often spoke to us in parables, and those parables framed and used familiar things that people of the day could identify with and that they could see. Well, on this Father's Day, I too wanted to try to talk to you using an example of something that men would understand. You see, Jesus used fish and fishing and bread and water and sheep and shepherds and vineyards and all kinds of things. But we are really not necessarily just fishermen or just vineyard keepers. So I want to talk to you about something this morning that I think men of today could identify. Chuck tank. We all use it, right?
Yeah.
It's like the greatest thing we've got, right? It's the wonderful, most wonderful tool that we have in our toolbox. And as we think about that, I did a little research and found out that the original duct tape was olive drab color. And it was called for by the armed services because they needed something strong and resilient in World War II for a specific purpose. They needed it to be tough and waterproof, and they needed it to seal ammunition boxes to their containers. The Johnson & Johnson company had a research team that came up with a strip of cotton mesh that they coated with a polyurethane sealant on one side and then added a rubber-based adhesive to the other side. The military tradition says that they call it duct tape, D-U-C-K, because water rolled right off its back and it did not affect the tape. Or it could have been possibly because of the layer of cotton fabric that was incorporated into the tape, that it was like a duck. Now, whatever its name is, the tape done its job. The military loved it and they put it to use regularly. In World War II, it done many things. The bottom line is it stuck to whatever you put it on and held it in place. Dads have also been designed for specific purpose. God has given us purpose. We're supposed to stick closely to Jesus so that our words and our behavior and our lives and our conduct are patterned after the example that Jesus gave us. Paul told Timothy to be an example, a visible representation of God and what Christ would be in the community. The conclusion there is, if what we have in Christianity is real, then it ought to show. It ought to show forth from us. And folks, I want to tell you, today more than ever, the world is crying out for the real. Why do you think reality TV has become so popular in the United States and around the world? People want to see what is real. They can get fake anywhere. It may be that you are going to be the example for Christ somewhere. Of course, I'm talking to men and women here. But men, we have a responsibility to make sure that our households are so ordered that people will see in our families. It is the father's responsibility to make sure that people can see in our families that we are godly people. 2 Corinthians 3:2 says, we are epistles known and read of all men. We are the epistles. And fathers, this is particularly true of us as heads of our families. You know, it's a terrible thought to think that God will be judged by what people see in us. Are we authentic? And sometimes being authentic says, I don't know. I don't know what to do. But in this situation, but being honest about it. Most of the time, we get so ill at ourselves that we cannot admit those things when they're happening. Men, I challenge you to become very real, to express your love that God has put in your life and in your heart regularly, and to do it appropriately. And that means that you can express that love before other people, not just your wife. Of course, she gets a special kind of love that God has created us and designed us for. But we need to show the world also that the love of Christ is worth living for and living in. There was an owner of a hotel chain. I think they made a movie about it, actually. She regularly told her employees, "Remember, my reputation is in your hands." That's exactly what God has done for us. His reputation is in our hands, and we need to live for him. You see, that's exactly what happened in the scripture in Matthew that we're seeing today before us. Jesus got the disciples and he prepared them to go out on their own without him. And he gave them orders about how to do it and what to consider and what not to worry about. But as they went, Jesus's reputation was in their hands. I think it's very telling here that Jesus didn't tell them, be nice. He didn't tell them, make sure you put a smile on your face. He just told them to be straightforward, brutally honest. Boy, do we have a hard time with that. I have a hard time with that. But man, we're called to lead in that way. So many hypocrites that fill our churches. People who love to put on airs on Sunday morning and then will stare you down on Monday morning. They live double lives. Church, I want you to not be any of those. I want you to know God's blessing so real in your life that even when you mess up, and you know God's presence. Just like I told these little people down here, no matter what comes your way, God loves you. I want you to know that so that you can live into it, so that it can be a part of your being and who you are. There was a woman who accepted Christ, and she had not ever been a godly person at all. She had lived for the world and all that she could get out of it. And accepting Christ dramatically changed her in every way. She was married and her husband was a godless man. He was not interested in anything except what he could get out of the world. This husband and wife continued for several weeks in their usual routine after she had accepted Christ. Finally, one morning before he left out for work, he said to her, "Do you know, woman, what it feels like to have to be living with and sleeping and eating with Jesus himself for these past few weeks?" She said, "How did you enjoy it?" Tears filled his eyes. He said, "I wish that I had something in my life like I see in you. That's something that God has put in you. Why won't he put it in me?" Fact is that he does put it in you, men and women. And you see, one of the great things that God has done is he's designed us to be together, to be in relationship with others so that we can benefit. We can gain from each other's strengths. We can see our weaknesses in each other and grow and learn and be better people. We can grow together and grow in Christ together. We men have one assignment, and that is to become as close to God as we possibly can and lead our families to become closer to God as well. We are to represent Christ Jesus as we perform our duties of living. And sometimes those duties are not pleasant. Sometimes those duties mean that we need to speak the unfiltered truth sometimes. And that is not pleasant. Sometimes we're called on to simply be father. But at other times we're called on to be husband, citizen, employee, boss, church member, member of society. Lots of things draw our attention, but in every single bit of it, then, we are called to be his and to be his first. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We have no purpose unless that purpose is to be his and to be drawn closer to him. The more he reigns in our lives, the better we are at everything we attempt. And the more we will gain those things that we desire in life. Paul tells us in Philippians 3:14, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Folks, just as God called Paul in heavenward in Christ Jesus, he calls each one of us to live our lives for him, to lead our families for him. But there is something that we need to take from duct tape. Duct tape, one of the things that makes it so useful is its unique ability to be strong and flexible. Men, we often really don't have a problem with being strong. That seems to come natural to us. But Paul warns us several times that we also need to be flexible. You see, duct tape was used and it had an adhesive to it that was pressure sensitive. So if you pressed it really hard, it would stick really well. It was also tough. It wouldn't just come apart, and yet you could tear it with your hand. It was an incredible thing, and still is today. It has countless applications, and in World War II, soldiers found out many things that it was good for. It mended boots. It patched holes in tents. It strapped equipment to jeeps and to tanks, and it was used as Band-Aids as well. During the post-war housing boom, ex-GIs used duct tape for many things around the house. They found it was particularly good around ducts, that air was flowing through. Now that air conditioning is becoming more and more acceptable in people's houses, they were having problems with the air escaping. And so they take this duct tape and wrap it at the joints so that the joints wouldn't come apart. Marketers altered the color of the tape from olive drab green to that silver gray color that we know today. And they also marketed under a different name. They specifically called it duct tape, D-U-C-T tape, so that people would realize, hey, this is good for sealing ducts, and everybody would go buy some. But whether you call it duct tape or duct tape, it doesn't matter. It is good stuff. And its flexibility, as well as its strength, is key to it being good for us. Paul tells us in Ephesians 4, he says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. And then at Colossians 3:21, he says, fathers, do not embitter your children, for they will become discouraged. How many of us can remember being exasperated by our parents? I like that word, exasperated. I looked it up to make sure that I understood what it means. And it means to make very angry or to annoy greatly. I think parents do that sometimes, by accident even, right?
For all purpose.
My daughter's nodding her head because she realized she does it personally. I want you to understand what she was
no.
Do your kids and wife, men, see you as a source of strength? Do they know you as being flexible enough to be able to respond to their needs, even when it's outside of your wheelhouse? I think we all struggle with that. But I would encourage you to take a note from duct tape, and while you're being strong, be as flexible as you can. You see, one of the keys to doing that is making sure that you know those things that are big things and important things and how they are separated from the things that are little things and not as important. And responding appropriately in those times. Are you able to keep the major issues and the minor issues separate and in their place? Another thing, men, is do you know self-control when you're stressed and angry? Look, the bottom line is we're human beings. And sometimes we're going to get stressed. And sometimes we're going to be angry. And sometimes we're going to do things that we don't like doing. And we're going to respond off the cuff. And it's not going to be what we want it to be. And it's not going to be the best representation of Jesus Christ either. We fail, men. I don't know that the women do. We fail. I can speak right for us. But we still have to have things in place so that when these times come and we need to vent to somebody, we can do that. And you know what? I find a lot of times that's the wife. For those of you who have wives, God, that's one of the things that I think God gave them to us for. Because sometimes we need to vent. But see, we need to have also an understanding in place so that they understand. I'm not at you. I'm not telling you that this is at you. I just need to vent some. Sometimes that's done by a prearranged agreement. Sometimes there's a little tell. If I say this word, you know, I just need it. But you know, in my house, we never got to the formal. It was like, you know, if I get really red in the face and I just start going off, well, I just need to vent some, right? Don't take it personal, right? Sometimes it's a look, and the wife understands. But my point in all of this is these things are going to happen. So we need to make provisions for them. We need to do it in a way that does not break relationships, but is understood. This is a part of life. And then when it's done, let us seek then to find out why it got to that point and find ways to trust in the Lord to reduce those things. I'm thankful that while it's not completely gone in my life, it is not as often, it's not as severe, it's not as much as it used to be. Praise God. He's working on me. He's going to get there one day, I'm sure. But he's not giving up, and he won't give up on you either. Sometimes men refuse to change just to prove their point. We call it stubborn. It's also prideful. And God warned us about being prideful. Are you so confident and secure enough in yourself that you know that you are right in every situation? Then, men, I encourage you, you need to be flexible also. Consider things from a different point of view. Because sometimes flexibility is the key to making everything work. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2, 24 and 25, he said, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, humbly correcting those who are in opposition. And I would add to Paul's admonishment here that a servant of the Lord must not only be able to teach, but be teachable. Then I am specifically talking to you. We need to realize that we need to be teachable. And one of the great gifts that God has given us in our wives is that ability for them to teach us as well. Another thing that duct tape is famous for is holding things together. One celebrated story of duct tape's holding power is when the Apollo 13 moon mission was in orbit there. They had a major problem, and that orbiter was just crippled in space. The astronauts used duct tape to make an impromptu carbon dioxide filter, and it worked and got them safely back to Earth. Since then, duct tape has been standard equipment on the space shuttle and the International Space Station. Every time somebody leaves the Earth that the United States is involved in, duct tape is there. Another time, there's a story of mechanics using duct tape to patch a hole in the windshield of a passenger jet. It's really comforting to know that when you're 30,000 feet above the Earth, in a jet, that your plane's held together with duct tape. I think maybe they didn't tell the passengers until after the landing. But since we know that it happened, it must have turned out all right. Duct tape holds things together, and that's important. We dads are supposed to hold things together too. God has designed us and put us in place to be the leader of the household, the fabric that holds the family together. And that doesn't mean that we make every decision or that we lord anything over anybody. But what God says is, I'm going to hold you, man, responsible for this household. And so whether you shirk your responsibility or you live up to it, God is still going to hold you responsible. 1 Timothy 3:4 says, a man must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. Colossians 1:17, talking about Jesus, says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Folks, whenever I read this scripture, I think about the universe actually being held together by Jesus' arms wrapped around them. The whole universe, not just our planet. Every single thing is held in its orbit and in place because God holds it there. And in that way, we could maybe even say that God's like duct tape. He holds it together. So does duct tape. Dads, we're supposed to be like duct tape too, holding our families together, holding our families before God and making sure that they don't fall off. Let us work diligently at that. I encourage you to be the dad that pleases God, even in your imperfections. We have them, and God's not going to leave us or turn away from us because of them. But he calls us in relationship to him and wants us to be deeper his always. But believe it or not, as good as duct tape is, folks, there's a few places that duct tape doesn't work well. In fact, it's bad to have duct tape and rely on it in some places. Duct tape works best in hot, moist environments. Only if it gets very hot does the adhesive begin to melt. But I have seen duct tape fail in dusty places or dirty places or oily places. The adhesive is so adhesive and so strong that the dust will just get right to it, and then it's not even, it won't stick to anything anymore. Duct tape also fails in very cold temperatures. It becomes brittle, and the adhesive will actually let go. Dads, too, will fail if we get in wrong environments. Environments that we're not designed to follow God into. We must stay in a community of men who believe like we do. We need to be in relationship with each other. Folks, we have a wonderful Methodist men's group here in this church. I encourage you, men, gather with us. There's no membership requirement other than walk through the door. And if you can't walk, we'll push you through the door. Okay? We'll push your wheelchair if we need to. Men, we're called to make sure that our convictions are so strong, we know when we're not to compromise. And we gain strength as we are in relationship with each other. And we need that relationship. We need to know that we're not facing these things in life by ourselves as leaders of our households, doing it alone. We are designed to be together. That's one of the reasons that God instituted the church, so that we can come together and learn from each other and rely on each other. I encourage you, men, take advantage of what the church offers you. Enjoy the fellowship, yes, but also enjoy God's presence and his leading as we gather with other men. You see, when we allow other things to distract us and lead us into places where God is not our primary goal, then we fall away from him. Our families suffer. Our lives suffer. Our wives suffer. Our society suffers. We, men, need to stand up and to stand strong. And sometimes that means saying no to friends who would entice us to go places that we know would not be honoring to God. The thing about it is, you're not going to be able to afford the high price of sin, no matter how much money you have, because it will cost you everything as you get lost in it. Whatever it is, it's not worth it. There are a lot of people who fly by the seat of their pants and operate more by crisis than they do by planning. I tend to fall victim to that, though I like to plan sometimes. These folks think that duct tape is the best thing in the world. Maybe you've seen it too, people who will put duct tape on our vehicle. I've seen duct tape holding major parts of vehicle together for a long time. The thing about duct tape is it's not permanent. It's a temporary solution to whatever it's holding together. For all of its marvelous uses, it's only temporary. Eventually, you're going to have to fix the problem. Men, we are limited. We can't be everything to everyone, and we're not always going to be right and understand rightly. We have to realize that our limitations of time and attention are real. We need to let God help us on our journey. And that's the next facet. I talked to you about being in community with other men. We also need to have relationship with God, intentional relationship with God. That means daily praying, daily turning to him, daily living to be his men. Our society pushes us to be so rugged and individual and strong and stubborn that we often don't realize how much we need God individually in our own lives. It's not, God's presence is not just something that the women need. We need it, men. And we need it just as much, maybe more, than the mothers and women. You see, we want to fix things. We want to make sure that everything turns out right. It's in our nature. And when we can't fix it, we often feel like we're a failure. But we're not going to be able to fix everything. The one thing we do need to fix, though, is our attention on God constantly and regularly. And when we do, we'll have far more effect than otherwise we ever could. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. That means that God knows our challenges. He knows our weaknesses. And he works with us through them. And as long as we have breath, he holds his breath for us to come to him and to be his. So I encourage you men, particularly, seek God's guidance in our tasks as fathers and husbands. It's challenging. Seeking God is the very best way we can fulfill our purposes on earth. The only true solution to everything is God. His grace is sufficient. His power, his strength is our provision. His wisdom is our guide. His presence is our friend. And he is always working things out for good for those who love him and are called for his purposes. Men, do you want that scripture to apply to you? I want it to apply to me. And so I know that I'm called, and I want to tell you something else. I know that you are called too, because you've accepted Jesus Christ, and there's a calling on your life, and therefore grow in him and seek him so that Romans 8:28 can apply to your life, that he will take over. He will work things to good in your life, in your family, in your household, in your society, in your nation. In our text this morning, as Jesus sent out his disciples with the good news of God's presence with them, he told his disciples in verse 13, if the household is deserving, let your peace rest on it. Men, if God sent visitors to your house today, would he find a worthy household? Would you welcome his emissaries and listen to their instruction? Would you be able to tell if they were emissaries of God or emissaries of something else? Do you know his word well enough to be able to differentiate? Would you be willing to welcome emissaries of God, even if they look differently than what you expected emissaries of God to look like? Remember, Jesus was born in a stable. Are you setting the example of godliness in your household, men, before your children? Grown, little, it doesn't matter. Before your grandchildren? Are you teaching and leading your household in a way that leads to godliness? Those things are important for us as men. David Brainerd, the great missionary to the American Indians, on one occasion was witnessing to a chief, a tribal chief. And that chief was on the verge of accepting Christ. But the problem is, Brainerd had witnessed to him many times, and the chief had seen moved many times. And Brainerd realized that if he didn't push a little harder, that maybe this chief would walk away, and his heart would become a little harder against hearing the gospel message, because every time we walk away from God, our heart becomes a little bit harder, and it becomes a little more difficult for us to accept that truth. And so Brainerd got up out of his chair, and he picked up a stick and drew a circle around the chief. And he said to him, decide before you leave this circle if you're going to serve God or if you're going to serve yourself. Why this passion and urgency? Because, folks, sometimes we might never get that close to God again. We may never have an opportunity. And I think God is with us this morning. His spirit is certainly active. And I think he's speaking to some of you this morning. So I'm going to draw a circle around you right now. Do you feel God in your life? Men, doing something a little different this morning. I want the men to come forward. I want you to come right up here with me. And I want to anoint you with oil. Now, I don't have command over you. You make your own choice. But I want you to come forward. I'm inviting you forward. Women, I want you to come forward too. Now that we're in a time where we don't have to worry so much about COVID and sickness, come on up. Come on up. We can gather up in the front of the church. And as we do, I'm going to anoint you then to be the kind of man that God has called you to be, designed you to be, wants you to be. And women, we need your support. And so I'm inviting you up. You're not connected to a man. Come on up, because we need you in our community to support us too. And I want you to raise your hands toward us, touch somebody on the shoulder. I want you to be a part of this. Come on up. Let the men come on through. I need access to them so I can want them to come on up. All I have here is just this little bottle, and it's an olive oil. Nothing special about it. There's no magic in the oil. There's no magic in Christianity. It is our faith that matters. And folks, men particularly, I'm calling you to faith. Come on up. Let the men come right on through. Let the men and their wives come right on through. Got a couple more in the back. Come on up. Thank you all for gathering up here, for being a part today, for taking part. I want all the men this morning. That you may know God's calling on your life, that you may feel His presence, that you may grow in your knowledge of Him, in your following of Him, that you may have the strength, the power, the grit to lead your families for Him, to be His, and never give up, never swerving or swaying, that your faith may be assured, and that you may know God in a way that you've never known Him before, and that you may find strength in Him, and that you may know Him and feel Him in your life. Because for all of this, we are in it together, and we are His together. You are going to be also. Men, I thank you all for coming up. Women, I thank you for supporting men of the church. We need your support. We need His guidance. He's promised to give if we seek it. So I invite you to pray with me. Father, thank you for this presence. Thank you for this gathering. Thank you for this time when you are with us, when you've called us together and you've spoken to us. Lord, help us to be all that we can be in your sight, that our families may flourish, that our children may know you, and that we may have an impact on this world because you are so strong in our lives. In the name of Jesus, right now, we submit before you. We invite you, Lord, to lead us as your men, your fathers in this world. In Jesus' name, we come to you. Amen.